Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. Premier coffee roasted and delivered in small batches. The beans are always hand-roasted. And we enjoy the regular signature blend right here at the Radio Ranch. But you can pick Kona Blend or Colombian Supreme, French Roast, Highlander Grog, whatever you want, even decaf. Why? You can get it all from Harvest Ridge Coffee. Pick up some for your office, for your home, or if you're out and about, be sure to get Harvest Ridge at your local convenience store. They also serve Harvest Ridge up at the Saints Cafe in Canton, another place I love to have my Harvest Ridge. Today's the day we say good morning and hello to the veterans, and joining us as always is Richard Elson Peter. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Mary.
And we just had all morning that on Friday you gave a big award to Blessing Hospital for their contribution to the veterans community. They employ 50 veterans at Blessing Hospital in their paid and volunteer staff positions, so that is something to be very happy about. And we have a couple of special guests who are going to be joining us today. Let's say good morning to a licensed clinical professional and National Board Certified Counselor, Chuck Johnson. He's been with Blessing Hospital System for only 48 years. Just think, are you going to stick in for another 2 years just to get some kind of big prize?
I don't know, Mary.
Okay. Well, I
keep working because I enjoy what I'm doing, and we're being joined by, we have two other guests with us today, Margaret Yannis, who's a project coordinator from Hybrid Academy, and also Dr. Teresa Jones from Hybrid Academy.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to know then is, what is the Hybrid Academy, I guess? Who's going to tell me that? Dr. Jones or Miss Yannis?
Oh, I can jump in. So Hybrid Academy of Behavioral Science, it's an organization that focuses on providing suicide prevention services to first responders, law enforcement community, and military. And we've been, our passion is to, and our goal is to save lives. That's ultimately what we're trying to do.
Okay. And you talk about the military and suicide prevention. Why is the military different, say, than law enforcement? And some of those may cross over because a lot of law enforcement officers are also former military. But what makes suicide prevention different when you're dealing with military and post-military personnel as with other people?
Mary, you're so correct. Majority of the time, when we retire, this is Teresa, when we retire from the military, a lot of our soldiers do go into law enforcement. But what makes a difference is that when we are basically serving our country, one, we're on call 24/7, we have different standards that we're looking at. We have to deal with not just national, but international situations. So we want to make you're separated from your family. Where, you know, if you're a police officer, you get to go home during the day. If you're stationed overseas, you may miss your family for a year to 3 years. So that really put a toll on us and our stress and mental health, and just trying to balance both our military obligation and our family.
Dr. Teresa Jones.
I think, Mary,
a lot
of things we find out is that with the military, besides the separation from the family during the service, there's that transition when they leave the military and come back to civilian life. And then that's difficult for a lot of veterans to make that transition and change. One of the reasons we're doing this workshop, though, is that veterans have a suicide rate that's 1.5 times higher than non-veterans. We had actually put on one of these workshops back in April of 2022, and we did a virtual program. And we had about 138 mental health professionals attend. But this time, what we've done is that our group, in terms of the governor's challenge to address suicide among service members, veterans, and their families, we wanted to contract with a vendor who could offer this program throughout the state. So we put it up for bid. And we were very happy that Hybrid Academy won the bid. And they're going to be putting this workshop on in 3 locations in the state. in the northern section. In fact, our first workshop is tomorrow at Malcolm X College in Chicago. But then we have one on January 15th in Champaign, and our last one on February 29th in Carbondale. So we tried to strategically pick three areas of the state where we could have people participate. And we're making this, you can also register in person and come to the workshop, or you can register to remotely participate, so you can participate from your home. So we want to make this kind of a easy-to-access program for people, and to have a variety of experts talk about military cultural competency during the workshop.
Well, the fact that you can access it from your home makes it exceptionally easy to attend. Who should be taking this training, Chuck Johnson?
Well, it can be a variety of folks. We're hoping that veterans will participate, family members of veterans, healthcare professionals, law enforcement officers, firefighters, social workers, educators, really anyone in the community who interacts with the military and veteran population. And we're hoping this actually helps people learn to understand what the needs of the veterans are and how to interact and support those veterans.
Well, that is great, and that's what we've been talking about on the Mary Griffith Show. I want to get to Teresa Jones again, a PhD. Your resume here says you're a disabled veteran. Can you tell me, Dr. Jones, a little bit more about your service and what you do now?
Yes. So I served 10 years. I was part of the National Guard and Army Reserve. During that service, I was a combat medic. So providing medical care to soldiers when they were injured, preparing them to get ready to go overseas. And during that time, again, a lot of wear and tear on my body. So after I got out of my 10 years, I went to college. I got a degree as a chiropractor. And my goal, again, is to help I focus on military and the military community, just helping their body get back to the level of, close to the level where before they started to serve. So that is my passion. And then also, again, just making aware, seeing if they actually have any mental health. But again, that transition coming from the military back into the civilian world, it can take a toll.
Well, you mentioned you're a chiropractor, near and dear to my heart. My family's all chiropractors, so I've been a patient of chiropractic since the very day I was born. I know how important it is for the physical health. But when you're talking about suicide prevention, you're also talking about people's mental health. And a lot of times, their mental health can influence their physical health, and their physical health can influence their mental health. How important is it to make sure that, you know, mind, body, and soul are all knitted together? Is that part of the problem, that a lot of veterans aren't getting the whole component? They're missing one or the other component of that healthcare program?
Well, if I can jump in on that, we kind of believe in this entire training, it's all designed on the concept of it has to start from somewhere. In our training, what we're going to emphasize is it starts from a thinking process. So it's when a veteran or comes home and then he or she has to engage in a normal civilian life, it's a totally different ballgame. So now they have to tune in with people who had not experienced everything that this person experienced overseas, for example. So now it's like what it starts from. It starts from what you're generating in your head, right, in your headspace. And it goes to that affects your behavior, and that affects your feelings, and that affects your physical body. So what we're trying to do is, in the training, is to give it a science and have the science to be applicable to the day-to-day life. So understanding of how we are, where it all starts, and starts again in generating, thinking and ruminating on the same thoughts over and over. So once we learn how to kind of eliminate those negative thoughts and kind of in tune with the new reality, that's kind of what we're trying to to do. And I think that is a very, like, mental health really truly starts from thinking processes and an ability to adjust them to new circumstances.
And coming off of that, Mary, with the mental health, yes, that plays a toll also and on the health part. So, you know, when you're thinking, you're not sleeping. Then you're depressed and you're laying in the bed and then you're gaining weight. And that puts a toll on the body. So, yes, it impacts both mental and physical.
One of the things.
So, what are we trying to do, for example, like to give that, like, a step by step instructions? Like, for example, like, what do you be 5 minutes before you go to sleep? What are you thinking of? How can you dedicate? Because usually, like, a few minutes before you fell asleep is so much, so important for your well being as much as a few minutes right after you wake up. So, it's like we want to teach you a little. Give you little psychological tools so you can readjust your mind before you go to sleep and after you go to sleep. And those little things really change the way the person thinks, and that's how kind of we wanted to set the training to help them, to give them the little step-by-step instructions.
Now, Mary, one of the things that we find is that a lot of physicians, primary care physicians, and sometimes even counselors never ask a patient if they're about their military background. And that's really important to help treat a veteran in terms of their diagnosis, treatment, how to refer them to benefits. So we really stress the fact that it's important to ask patients when they come in if they have served in the military, and to start that dialogue with them. Because unless we know that the person has been in the military, sometimes we don't get a full background about them. So just having that conversation with the veteran, you know, when they served, what branch of military they were in, what they did during their military, were they injured during their service. But most importantly, we encourage mental health and medical professionals to thank that veteran for their service. Because I think a lot of times veterans feel like people in the community don't appreciate the service that they have provided. And without that service, we couldn't have this radio talk show today for people to have the freedoms that they experience as a result of these veteran services.
Well, and so many of them felt, especially Vietnam-era veterans, felt unappreciated when they came home. Or now, modern-day veterans, they feel like they're lost in a sea of people who 99% have never served in the military and have no concept of what that is about. I want to ask you, Chuck Johnson, and our guests, Margaret Yaunis and Dr. Teresa Jones, this is all well and good, but how do you get the veterans to come in and seek these services? Because this has been the sticking point for a long time, not can we treat people? Do we have psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors to help people, but how do we get them to access the help? How will this military cultural competency and suicide prevention training that's going to be held tomorrow and in January and in February, how is this going to help our local people gain access to these services?
Well, I think one thing, and Richard can maybe address this, our Together with Tri-State Veterans Support has actually, I think, brought the needs of the veterans out into the public, whether it's through our public service announcements, whether it's through all the speaking engagements Richard's done, whether it's through establishing the VAC in the community. I think the first step is to make veterans aware that people do appreciate the service they have done and also aware of what resources are out there for them. I think this workshop will help them in terms of not only understanding about the needs of the veterans, but also we're going to be talking in that workshop about how to refer people to services that serve the veterans. For many of our veterans, they get frustrated when they get switched from one phone number to another phone number to another phone number in the VA system. The VA system is not a simple process. It's very complex. So we need to offer resources like our local VAC that can actually help a veteran navigate that VA system. and to be able to access the benefits they deserve and how to access services when they need either mental health or physical services.
The other thing, and Richard, you can comment on this too, jump in. You know, recently I was at a crash site, an automobile accident, and the driver was very calm. It was a man in a wheelchair, and he was very calm. They got him out of the wrecked vehicle, got him in the wheelchair. He sat there quietly smoking a cigarette. The passenger, who later on we learned suffered no serious injuries, was hysterical, unconsolable, and screaming at the top of her lungs for literally, I'm not exaggerating, 10, 15 minutes straight. You know, firefighters arrived and their EMTs were able to get her to calm down and submit to medical treatment. But this training is for firefighters and law enforcement and for everybody, because it's not just people in a hospital setting that we may, you know, I don't know what, if this woman was a veteran or not, but, you know, her behavior was unusual. Let's put it that way. She obviously had some component of a mental disorder. Her reaction to what had happened was a little bit disproportionate. Is this also one of the things I don't really call them lay people because they're professionals, firefighters, law enforcement officers, et cetera, ambulance workers, but they need to understand some military aspects and military culture and trauma before they can treat people or at least ask questions about it when they come upon somebody who's acting strangely, I guess. Can you comment on that?
I think so. We started the training from training the law enforcement officers. And then at this point, we realized that there's majority of them are actually former military. And now they have a PTSD, many of them have PTSD from the deployment. And then on top of it, they have the daily trauma incidents on the job. So they are, in a sense, many of them actually understand what is going on, right? They understand, and then they know how to, like, by the virtue of their military experience, they also understand how to act in a situation like you just described. But I think that to kind of answer the previous question is, like, that's why this training is beautifully designed in a way that how we want to reach out to those veterans is to, we have not only, we want to have law enforcement, firefighters, social workers, educators. We want mental health professionals, nurses. We want anyone in this training. So when whoever is going to go and learn all those skills, they can go out to the real world and they can interact with those veterans and then they can spread the word that is like, okay, now we have those services available. So having this training to have so many different professions in it and then interacting with one another, that is a one way to just growing the entire, like, suicide prevention community.
And Mary, to kind of piggyback off of Margaret, when we are interacting with patient, one of the things as a healthcare professional, we grab demographics, you know, your age, where did you work, those particular things. And I think one of the things that we need to start adding to that demographic, have you served in the military?
Right.
And then we can know how to treat that patient moving forward compared to if they just work now at AT&T or at a different company. They know that they also have military experience, so then we can treat for military and we can go dive deeper to find out if they have PTSD or any other issues that they may be dealing with.
Okay, well, we're going to have to take a break. I hope you'll all hold on. I'm going to try not to hang up on you. Chuck Johnson, you're in charge. If I do hang up on you, you got to get it all back together again, okay? So I'm going to do my best.
Call back if we do.
Okay, we all know how to do it except me. The key point, as I say, the Jesus nut in the helicopter rotor. I don't know what I'm doing, but everybody else is pretty okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this event. The Hybrid Academy is putting this on. We have Margaret Yannis here and Teresa Jones, who are members of that academy, and Chuck Johnson, who's been with Blessing Hospital as a counselor for over 48 years, talking about veterans' health. 20 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour, Bayer brings you this Ag Report. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I hope joining me on the phone lines is Chuck Johnson. Would that be you?
I'm here. Margaret, are you with us?
Yes, we're back, absolutely.
Great. We got cut off, but we linked back in.
Okay, good.
We managed.
I didn't realize you got cut off. I thought I still had you, and then all of a sudden I heard the phone ring, and I went, oh, I looked over, nobody's there. We are joined in studio. Okay, well, we're joined on the phone lines by Chuck Johnson from Blessing Hospital and by members of the Hybrid Academy that are putting on this training seminar, three different locations, Chicago tomorrow, Champaign-Urbana January 15th, and Carbondale on the 20th of February. But, of course, you can always do it locally, Zoom. And we're talking, one of our guests today, Teresa Jones, is a combat medic, a veteran, and a disabled veteran herself. And Teresa, we have Richard Elsenpeter here that wants to ask you a question regarding your military service and how that colors your now service to veterans.
Well, to do a quick follow-up with one of the previous questions about how we serve and what do we do, and I always find it very important that when we are talking to each other, when we're communicating, is to know your audience. So I think it's important that with this type of training that they're doing, the three in November, January, and February, is it's not necessarily for the veterans themselves, but it's more peer-to-peer training. So how we talk to each other is a little different than how we may talk to a veteran, you know, about their services and what services they may need. So it's always important to know who we're talking to and how we relate that to each other. But Dr. Jones, I was kind of curious, as a combat medic, because I'm also a combat medic, and I have my views on what is some of the difficulties in getting veterans to come to services or to seek services, because there is that veteran mentality of, I'm okay, I'm strong, I can take it, I can hack it, I'm fine, you know, type scenarios. So I'm just kind of curious from your experience and your side, what are some of the key obstacles or that you see to getting veterans to come in and say, it's okay not to be okay. I need help.
I totally agree with that, Richard. One of the things that I do is to kind of focus on the barriers that we, and we're going to talk about that during the training. So you do have this barrier of basically stigma. Like you just stated before, I'm okay. That's something that we was trained in, and that's something that, you know, I never quit. And coming from military to civilian, we still put that's instilled in us, we still do that. So one of the things is, what I try to do, again, is try to make sure when I'm speaking to a soldier, again, or I'm speaking to a patient, I ask that question, have you served in the military? And I share my personal experience that I served in the military, and I usually call them to open up. And then I let them share their story, and I follow their lead as I'm speaking with them and guide them. And it may not be the first visit that I get the full information but by the second and third, I do. And that's actually what happened to me. I am, again, I deal with mental health, and I didn't really say anything for like over 12, 13 years. And listening to other people talk about their mental health and where they got help, I finally decided to go get help. So when we are able to communicate in a safe space and you're talking to more people who understand the military and no judgment, then I think that we are able to get them to open up more.
It took you 12 years to come to grips with maybe I need to talk to somebody. So this is why I think we're struggling as civilians to understand how are we going to get to suicide prevention when, you know, people are so reluctant to talk. And despite the efforts here locally, which are phenomenal, to let veterans know that all of these physical and mental and social programs are available, there still is this barrier. And so what is the responsibility of the medical community to double down on their efforts to find these veterans who are experiencing these traumas? Or is it something where their families should be maybe reporting them, not reporting them like for disciplinary action, but reporting to the doctor, hey, I'm worried, what should I do? What can I do as a third-party person?
Well, I think what Dr. Jones mentioned, I think, is really important, but it starts by asking the question. You know, asking a person if they have served in the military, because when you ask that question, it opens the line of communication, because then the veteran knows that you cared enough to inquire about their military service. And then you can start a conversation with them about their military service and how they're doing. But if we never ask the question, we never get to the point of helping the veteran.
So true. And
correct.
So, yeah.
I never was asked that question. And going back to Richard mentioned, again, I was strong. I'm resilient. I don't have problems. You got to push through. And that carries over to the civilian world. Again, when I start sharing the different programs out there, the different help that I can't go to the VA, I made that choice to go.
Okay.
But when you don't know the resources that's out there, you don't utilize.
And if I can piggyback on that, speaking of questions, another question is why you get to these resources is to ask the right question, which would be, are you suicidal? Right, like it's like many people are actually afraid to ask this very important question. And this is where at this point you can realize that this person actually is suicidal or it's not. And if it's suicidal, do they have a plan or do they have a means to access their lethal means? Right? So it's like if they do, how and even a family member can prevent having knowledge about how this, like a flow chart goes, is like ask the question. Then are you suicidal? If the answer is yes, or if the answer is no, what to do? You refer a person to a different means of psychological help versus if the person says, yes, I have a plan and I already have 5 gallons in my nightstand. So what do you do as a family member to secure a safety of those guns? So knowing this kind of asking the right questions, like starting from did you serve and then what branch and then how are you doing today and then are you suicidal? Actually not being afraid to ask those questions, that is a key to start a conversation altogether.
Yeah, the key thing is just the conversation, and I think that's one thing WTAD Radio has been trying to do, is to make this governor's challenge known, to make the Illinois Department of Health and Human Services known, to make the Veterans Affairs known, to make our Tri-State Veterans Support Group known, to let people know that there are people like Margaret Yaunis and Dr. Teresa Jones who are working on this hybrid academy to educate people, that Blessing Hospital, which is led by a veteran, is fully, integrated into trying to care for all members of our community, especially the specialized care that might be available. Anybody can attend this academy, I assume. They can sign up. Is it too late to sign up for tomorrow's session?
If somebody no, it's never too late. I was saying it's never too late. For Zoom, we have a secure 100 people in person. But if anyone wants to sign up, feel free to go back. There's an email information and a contact information. If we need to open another 50 spots, we are more than happy to do that. Absolutely. And Zoom invite or Zoom link or Zoom registration is open, for as many people as possible, because we wanted to Our mission is to give possibility to attend this training to as many veterans or people who serve, those who served.
And what is the cost?
Margaret, would you want to give the link of how people can register for the workshop?
Yes, absolutely. So there's a link, and I don't know how I can, if there's any chat or anything I can do in the link, but there's a, they can register going to, how am I supposed to provide the link, Chuck? Like, do we, can we do it in the end of the show?
Sure, sure.
Well, we can maybe give it now and then at the end of the show
again. I mean, the end of the show is almost here, so.
Website?
Yeah, the end of the show is almost here, so. Do they just go to the Illinois Department of Human Services? Is that a place to start?
That is one place that you can go.
Okay.
And then we also have an Eventbrite. Pulling up that link, so give me 1 second.
Okay, no problem. So there is a way to get in.
Yeah, when she's waiting for it, once you go on to register, you pick two, either live stream or online, or in person, and then you just kind of ask the little survey questions, because we wanted to learn the demographics of people who are going to attend, and it takes like 5 minutes to register.
To register for any of the three locations, Chicago, Champaign, or Southern Illinois, you will go to www.ebright.com/cc/military-suicide-prevention-training.
Okay, --. If you can't get in for tomorrow, you can mark down Wednesday, January 15th. And if you don't make it into tomorrow, you could probably call Chuck Johnson at Blessing Hospital, and he'll have maybe a more expedited way to do it. Is there a cost to attend this seminar?
No, but the training is free.
Okay, the training is absolutely free. We have about 1 minute left.
And then we're going to have a lunch provided and CU credits for certain professions, such as nursing, healthcare professions, counselors, therapists are going to receive a CEU credit. And we're still working in law enforcement because there's a long process to try to certify that. But we are on it. But other than that, we have lunch and CEU credits and a wealth of knowledge and wisdom that we can take to the real world.
Okay.
And Mary, if people have trouble registering, they can call me directly at Blessing Hospital at 217-223-8400, extension 4533.
Okay, 223-8400, ask for Chuck Johnson. Thank you very much to all of my guests today for appearing. We greatly appreciate your help. Thank you to Richard Elson-Peter. Richard, I'll give you the last 15-second farewell here.
I just want to say thank you very much for all our guests today. It was a fantastic discussion, and as I said, I look forward to being able to attend one of these seminars. So.
Yeah, it's good. The fact that you don't have to be in person, although I think in person helps a lot, but whether you go to attend it in person or in Zoom, Tri-State Veteran Support will always have help for you. And on this Veterans Day, thank you to all our veterans. We appreciate your service.